Good morning. Welcome to worship on this rainy spring day. I'm the Reverend Natalie Fenimore, one of the ministers here at UUCSR, along with the Reverends Jennifer Brooks and the Reverend Jennifer Brower. In this congregation, we seek to create loving religious community, to encourage spiritual growth, and to build a more just and joyful world. I think we just had some of the joyfulness on display. We also seek to restore the balance of our spirits, to celebrate the joys of life, and to find the strength to meet our sorrows, to meet our sorrows together. You may be new to Unitarian Universalism. Ours is a religion which has a tradition of embracing the wisdom of all faiths and values diversity. We believe in using science, reason, and the many gifts of the spirit to explore life's meaning and mystery. We believe that you need not think alike to love alike. Please visit our website for more information on Unitarian Universalism and the Unitarian Universalist Congregation here at Shelter Rock. After the service, you're invited to our in-person and our online coffee hour. You can meet new friends and see the faces of friends you have been missing. I especially asked you to engage in the meeting new friends part. Now, this April brings together many religious and spiritual celebrations. Ramadan, Passover, and Easter celebrations are coming together this year. Ramadan began on the 1st. As Unitarian Universalists, we honor our human diversity. We uphold religious freedom. During these celebrations of faith, these celebrations which come together, although from different traditions, springing from the same source, we can remember our relationships, our interconnected stories, while we fast, pray, worship, and practice deeds of charity and justice. Now, let us worship together. In honor of Ramadan, our opening words are from the 13th century Persian poet, Sa'di Shirazi, and he writes, "To worship God is nothing other than to serve the people. It does not need rosaries, prayer carpets, or robes. All peoples are members of the same body, created from one essence. If fate brings suffering to one member, the others cannot stay at rest." We will now light our chalice, the symbol of Unitarian Universalism. Each Sunday, we light the chalice of our religious heritage. We do this for our ancestors who taught us through their various religious traditions and by their actions of justice and hope. We do this for our children who are learning the traditions we teach and who learn more from our actions than from our words. We do this for ourselves, so that we are inspired to remember our own beginnings, reflect on who we are now, and spread our wings as we understand who we seek to become.
Please rise in body or spirit for our words of affirmation. Love is the doctrine of this congregation. The quest of truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge in freedom, to serve human need. This do we affirm and covenant with each other. Please remain standing and put on your mask to sing our song of affirmation.
Wrong.
You may be seated. Our reading is Alive Again by Robert Walsh. One of my favorite hymns is the one that begins, "O life that maketh all things new." I believe in a universe in which there is continual creation, not one that is winding down after an initial burst of creativity. I believe there is a newness, a birth in each moment of a life and also in death. We are constantly dying and being reborn to new life. One day, I was driving on the highway into the city and saw potholes in the pavement, trash and litter in the median strip, and huge tacky billboards and junky industrial buildings beside the road. And there were rude drivers cutting in front of me. I felt surrounded by images of ugliness, decay, and entropy, all of it the work of human hands. Then there came on the radio a lovely song. It was Mel Torme singing "A Nightingale Sang in Berkeley Square." How many of you know who Mel Torme is? Or knows or remembers what he sounds like? I remembered then that creation is ongoing, that all things are being made new. I felt alive again. I smiled and let go of some of the tension in my body and forgave the litterers and rude drivers. I don't mean to suggest that the heavenly choir is going to sound like Mel Torme, although that's not a bad idea, but that on that day, this beautiful song mediated eternity for me. It was the human-made work of art that allowed my spirit to soar. Please wear your mask to sing, and again, rise in body or spirit to sing hymn number 108, "My Life Flows On in Endless Song."
Thank you.
Sunday, we take a special collection to support a nonprofit group which serves human need. During April, contributions support humanitarian aid for refugees from the war in Ukraine. The International Women's Convocation is a global partnership of Unitarian and Unitarian Universalists who work for women's empowerment through UU connections around the world. It is a nonprofit group that has special consultative status with the United Nations Economic and Social Council. Our donations made to the International Women's Convocation will be administered by the Hungarian Unitarian Church. Our donations will give immediate help to families fleeing war in Ukraine, providing transportation, shelter, food, supplies, and counseling. Make contributions on our website or through PayPal or by text message. And if you are on site, the donations box is to your right as you leave the worship room. In these days when compassion fatigue is a real thing, let's make our congregation a wellspring of empathy. Please give from your hearts what you can.
It's what we are.
I invite you into a time of silence, meditation, or prayer. I will light a candle for all our joys and sorrows. We ask that all here know that this is a community of care and compassion where you can find the support which you need. I lit a second candle for all those suffering in the world, the trauma of war, disease, and displacement. May they know peace and safety. One of my first thoughts when we came to the worship theme, Awakenings, was the movie by that title. I really liked the movie. Do you remember it? No. It starred, do you remember? Robert De Niro, right? And we're going to show something right now.
You will be working with patients, people, doctor.
When you say people, do you mean living people?
You do want the job, don't you?
Hi.
I'm Dr. Sayer.
I'm Wahida.
Wahida. I'd like to ask.
I was born in 1911 in Kingsbridge, New York. Prior to July 1955, I resided at the Brooklyn Psychiatric Center, Brooklyn, New York.
How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. Prior to that, I was a person.
It gets easier. You don't think it will, but it does.
Can you hear me? Does he ever speak to you?
Of course not. Not in words.
No change, date of 9/11/44.
Your patients, doctor, haven't moved in decades.
What I believe, what I know, is these people are alive inside.
How do you know that, doctor?
I know it.
I just wanted to say to you, I preferred your explanation.
At 200 milligrams, he showed no response. Maybe he needs more.
Maybe he needs less.
Could deal with losing 30 years of my life, could you?
Have you thought what you'd like to do today?
Everything.
Leonard, where are you going?
I would do all the things that you people take for granted. I'd go for a walk. I'd look at things. I'd talk to people.
You work here?
No, I live here.
You don't look like a patient.
I don't?
Girls!
You're not married.
Me?
Would you like to go out for a cup of coffee?
Leonard! That's not waving, that's swimming! Leonard!
The movie is an adaptation of a book by the writer and medical doctor, neurologist, Oliver Sacks. Sacks was recounting his true experiences with patients who had contracted sleeping sickness during the great pandemic which followed World War I, a pandemic of the 20s. These patients were frozen in time until 1969 when Sacks gave them the medication L-DOPA and the patients awakened. People who had spent decades, a lifetime, without the ability to speak, to control their body movements, or to acknowledge an awareness of others were suddenly able to interact with the world outside of themselves. They had a healing, an awakening. The scene in the movie where the character Leonard, played by Robert De Niro, wakes up is so surprisingly joyful. I engage with it every time as if I'm seeing it new, even though I know what's going to happen. Now, of course, there are things about this movie that are dated, that don't hold up, things that remind us of how limited the stories that we tell sometimes are. There are no women or people of color featured as the leading medical professionals. And there is, at the time that this movie was made, a felt need to include a sweet romance angle, but a heterosexual romance to the fictionalized life of the real life gay man Oliver Sacks. Like many of us, I think we can see ourselves in Oliver Sacks. He was a person of great contradiction. While he was publicly very successful, very well known, he was also deeply, deeply shy and often very lonely. He was closeted sometimes. He was often able to be more compassionate to others, to his patients, than he was toward himself. Sacks loved science from an early age. In childhood, he was encouraged by his physician parents to experiment, to dissect, to memorize the elements on the periodic table. How many of us find or lose our own callings? Our callings, the joining of our passions and our tasks that become our life's work, how often is that enabled or not because of the actions of those around us? All of us are not lucky enough to have the encouragement which Sacks' parents gave him. That encouragement around his career, his calling, was matched by discouragement of him to love himself as a gay man. Parents, teachers, friends, may we be as blessed as Sacks to encourage our callings, our vocations. May we be more blessed than Sacks to find people who encourage us to be ourselves. Early in his career as a doctor, Sacks struggled to be taken seriously. He was drawn to a relational view of doctor and patient, and many of his fellow doctors thought that this was not a valid scientific approach. He wanted to listen to people. He also loved music. He came to see music as its own form of medicine. He said that music can lift us out of depression or move us to tears. It is a remedy, a tonic, orange juice for the ear. And for many, music is even more. It can provide access, even when no medication can, access to movement, to speech, to life. Music is not just a luxury, but a necessity. Sacks saw that music touched something deep inside his patients, as it touched something deep inside him. It awakened his humanity. And watching his patients relate to music helped him to see them as full human beings and not just a collection of symptoms. We can also see music and art, creativity of all kinds, as central to our spiritual health and well-being. How is this our congregation, a community of creativity? How do we maintain the power of this gathering to originate, to generate the new, to break away from what exists now and to move into what we can only imagine? How can this be a community where we awaken ourselves? Can we make sure that no one is stifled or shut out, marginalized or unheard? Can we see one another as more than a collection of our symptoms? Can we celebrate and enable ourselves to hear the music which exists as part of each of our own beings? A music which is not only a vibration of sound, but a singing and shouting and movement of the spirit. Sacks also came to see himself as a storyteller, as a story sharer. He believed that a doctor had to be a good listener. A friend has to be a good listener. that to explore the questions of health, disease, suffering, care, and human connection, it was necessary to listen to the patient, to recognize their humanity. As he said, if you wish to know about a man, we ask, what is the story, his real, inmost story? For each of us is a biography, a story. Each of us is a single narrative, which is constructed continually, unconsciously, by, through, and in us, through our perceptions, our feelings, our thoughts, our actions, and not least, our discourse, our spoken narrative. Biologically, physiologically, we are not so different from each other. Historically, as narratives, we are each of us unique. Patients come to the doctor with a history, with a story, with something that's gotten them there to that point where they're sitting in the examining room. And each of us has also come here to this moment, to this place, this moment of spiritual import with a backstory. A unique personal experience encased in a history of family and community. If we listen to each other, we might better help one another to become spiritually healthy and awake to our own inner lives and the potential that we each have to be vehicles of peace and justice. I ask, can we, do we, listen to one another, tell and share our stories? Might we find our own hopes and dreams and imaginings awakened or reawakened in the warmth of our relationships with one another? Right now, the flowers are blooming, the trees are in bud, and perhaps we might also be. Nature needs the encouragement of the changing light of day, the sun's warmth, the loosening of the soil. What do you need to be reborn, reawakened, to embrace the power of life itself, which exists in each and every one of us? Yes, when we are ill, we are in need of medication, but we are also in need of human touch, understanding, and connection. Does someone see us, know us as both part of a community and as unique individuals? You know, it may be that I have actually remained in love with the movie Awakening and all of Sack's writing as well, because he brings this hope and joyfulness to his narratives. But he does this even as the stories of the lives he shares are not stories of painless lives. They don't all have happy endings. In Awakenings, the L-DOPA treatments don't initially work as a lasting cure. Over time, L-DOPA has worked as a long-term cure for some patients, but the early experiments, which are documented in the book and the movie, did not result in a lasting cure. Patients gradually retreated back into their immobile silences. They went back to sleep. Their rebirth was only for a moment, a precious moment. Sacks recounts his own feelings of sadness and impotence and grief during this time of retreat. But he continued to reach out to and connect with the humanity of his patients. He asks us to value the lives of all of those around us, to see them as fellow humans experiencing life, however imperfect, however different from ours. His patients had challenges, as we all have challenges. How can we continue to reach out to one another? Can we recognize in our own lives and in the life of this community the abundant life that surrounds us? Our ability to awaken and indeed awaken and awaken again the joy within us, which leads us to spiritual health. Health as compassion, health as connectedness, health as loving, health as love itself. Spring itself screams to us to pay attention. To pay attention to life, to its moments of rebirth, regeneration, and renewal. The almost gaudiness, the over-the-topness of flowering trees and the abundant, beautiful music of birds seems meant to shake us up, meant to bring us to attention. May we pay attention. May we take up that challenge. May we find what awakens us. Music, nature, creativity, our common humanity. May we find what awakens us. In closing, I offer these words of Oliver Sacks as he reflected on his long life. He said, "Above all, I have been a sentient being, a thinking animal on this beautiful planet, and that in itself has been an enormous privilege and adventure. Please rise in body or spirit. Wear your mask to sing our closing hymn, number 1064, Blue Boat Home."
Yes.
We extinguish our chalice, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again. And today, we have among us a longtime member, Hugh Stevens, who is celebrating his 98th birthday. Social hall, an opportunity for all of you to wish him well and to just have a great day.